Hey, I'm Rowan Miller, and I work as a program manager on the Entity Framework team here at Microsoft. Entity Framework Core, or EF Core for short, is a lightweight, extensible, and cross-platform version of Entity Framework. Our goal is to have the same data access stack available anywhere that you write .NET code, whether that's WinForms, WPF, ASP.NET Core, Universal Windows Platform, or Xamarin. In this video, we're going to take a look at the 1.1 release of EF Core. This release is aimed at removing adoption blockers to make EF Core a viable option for more applications. To that end, we've fixed a ton of bugs and implemented some critical features that were missing from the 1.0 release. So let's switch over to Visual Studio, and I'm going to show you just one of the exciting new features in EF Core 1.1. Okay, so in Visual Studio, I've created a console application and installed the SQL Server provider for Entity Framework Core. I've gone ahead and started implementing the application, and then we're going to look at using one of the new features in Entity Framework Core to complete it. I've created a blogging context, and I've added a DB set for the blog type, which is the single entity type in our model. I've also, in onConfiguring, called the useSQLServer method to go and set up this context to connect to the blogging database. Blogging database happens to be on my local DB instance. We'll see there's a single blogs table, and if I look in that, you'll see I have some existing data. Scrolling down, let's look at the blog entity. You'll see that I have a name and blog ID property, and as with most EF models, these are properties with getters and setters. You'll also notice that I have a URL property, but this one's a little bit different because it only has a getter and no setter. The property is backed by the underscore validated URL field, and if I want to set that field, I need to use the setURL method rather than using the property setter. I've done this because setURL perform some logic to validate that we have a valid URL that's not going to return a 404 something. It's generally accepted that logic like this should not be done in a property setter and should be done in a method. Now, what's interesting about this is EF will, by default, only map properties that have a getter and a setter. So when EF builds the model by convention, it's actually going to exclude the URL property from our model. Using backing field support that we've introduced in EF Core 1.1, I'm going to look at pulling this property into the model and telling EF to use the backing field when it needs to. In OnModel Creating, I'm going to access the model builder and pull up the configuration for the blog entity. After that, I'm going to drill into the configuration for the URL property. And here I can make use of the new hasFilled method to tell EF that there is a field backing this property. I'm just going to copy and paste the name of the field into the configuration call. At this point, EF has everything it needs to know how to get and set the values for this property. EF will use the field when it's creating new instances, usually from a query, and aside from that, it will use the property when it can and fall back to the field when it's not able to use a property. In our case, that would be any time that it needs to set the value. Now, if I wanted to, I could actually override this functionality using the use property access mode. So I could say, to always use the field, for example. But in our case, I'm happy for EF to use the property getter whenever it wants to get the value for the URL. If I scroll up to the main method of my program, you'll see I've written some simple logic that creates an instance of our context. It goes and runs a link query to pull all of the blogs ordered by name back from the database, and then we go ahead and write out the results of that query to the console. I'm going to run the application and we'll see it in action. We'll see when the application executes that it is successfully pulling all of the data back from the database and populating it into the entity classes, including the URL property, which it's using the field to set that value. Let's go a little bit further. If I scroll down again, let's take the URL property and actually swap it to be a method as well. So we'll call it getURL. We'll make it so it just returns the value currently stored in the field. At this point, there is no property on the entity class that represents the URL. If I scroll up to my code in OnModel Creating, you'll see I can no longer write this line on property because there is no property to access. I have two options here. First up, I could just write code like this. EF is smart enough to know that if it does not find a property with the given name, it will fall back and look for a field. But what I probably don't want is for the name of the property in my model to begin with an underscore and use the field naming convention. What I would rather do is introduce a new property that conceptually exists in the model, but doesn't actually exist in my CLR class. And I'm going to call this property URL. At this point, this name of the property, without the underscore, is going to be used for all the conventions, such as the convention that decides what the column should be called in the database. There's one other change we have to make to check this out. The point where we're writing the data out to the screen, we need to swap from calling the URL property that we had to now calling the getURL method. Let's run our application again, and we'll see that once again, data is successfully returned from the database. Now all data access is going through the field on our entity. Let's go one step further. At the moment, we're ordering by name, but let's say we wanted to order by that URL property that we conceptually introduced into the model. We can't say b.url here because there is no URL property. So instead, we're going to use the ef.property method and say that there is a string property on blog that is called URL that doesn't exist in my entity type, but conceptually exists in the model. I will now run the application again. And we'll see that this time the data is output, this time ordered by URL. And if I swap to SQL Profiler, which I have running in the background, we'll see that that order by URL is being pushed to the database. For more information on using EF Core, including step-by-step tutorials to get you started, visit our documentation at docs.efproject.net. If you want to get involved in our open source project, whether that's filing bugs or looking at contributing to the codebase, you can find us at github.com/asp.net/entity-framework. Finally, the source code for the demo that I just showed and other demos of EF Core are available in my demo-EF Core repository on GitHub.